Good morning. Today is Sunday, June 9th, 2019. I am still enjoying Larry's two-part series about the life and circumstances of a human being named Gideon from the book of Judges, chapters 6 and 7. The central points he made are really so applicable to our lives today. The record stirred my resolve to see myself more and more as God sees me. So I've entitled this, Through God's Eyes. In a way, this account of Gideon is humorous from the standpoint of human nature. When the angel of God arrived to deliver the message to Gideon that he would be a judge for Israel, God called Gideon a mighty man of valor. That was through God's eyes. There Gideon was, secretly tucked away in the dark of night at a broken-down wine press, grinding out wheat so the children of Israel could have flour. So even in captivity, Gideon was doing whatever he could to be helpful under these stressful and captive conditions. Gideon definitely was in survival mode because, you know, before the angel appeared, he did not have a game plan for a better life. Gideon's initial response to this special assignment was to point out to God that he would not be the right man for the job. After all, he was the baby in the family, and it was a poor family at that. Or you also think of Moses, when God called him to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage. He said, I'm not eloquent. I'm not a good speaker. But my brother, Aaron, he is. Send him. Let him lead them out. So Gideon, Moses, their replies are really pretty typical and, you know, somewhat healthy. We are not to think too highly or so seriously concerning our personal greatness, because rich or poor, alpha or omega, those things have no influence with God. We are great because God is with us. He has made us great. He looks upon the heart of a man, a woman, a boy or girl, and he sees mighty men and women of valor, mighty children of valor. God sees what he makes us to become. He sees in us his purposes coming to pass. So logically, we should want to mature to see our value and usefulness through his eyes, through the eyes of God. Because he's the one that made us valuable and useful. He has made us powerful, and that is why we can be victorious. Because of him and him alone, we are more than conquerors. Because of his gift of Holy Spirit within us, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Our educations, our physical and mental capacities, sure, they are enhancements to our lives and they are great blessings. But when we spiritually weigh what we bring to the table, it is what each individual does with that gift of Holy Spirit God has given him or her that tips the scale. I am in awe of the depth of joy and the pleasure of freedom we can experience living in this world as one who is just passing through. Living with that awareness, with that as our reality, we can avoid becoming entangled in the things belonging to this world. And we stay on track with our spiritual calling for this phase of our lives. Not only do we want to see ourselves through God's eyes, but also we want to view life through the eyes of our Father. Brandon Heath, a contemporary Christian singer, has a song that I just want to share a few of the lyrics. The title of it is Give Me Your Eyes. Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. He goes on to talk about, give me your arms for the brokenhearted. And, you know, what a great view looking through God's eyes. And really, oh man, what would I give to look through God's eyes, as he says in the song, for just 1 second? Can you imagine how wonderful that would be? Well, we are able to do that when we look at the world, when we look at life through the truth of God's word. And I mentioned passing through this world. For the born again ones, passing through this world is a stage of life. It's like being a baby, then an adolescent, going on to adulthood, becoming a senior, and so on. Our next segment of life may be awaiting the return, but at God's appointed time, we will all reach our permanent destination, which is eternity with God and with Christ. 1 Thessalonians says it in a wonderful way in chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, and this is from the New Living Translation. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. You know, these verses really do set a staggering comparison between God's plan and God's power and ours. Sometimes life seems to be, what is your plan for retirement? What is your plan? You need to start saving. You need to start doing this. But when you consider our meager plans and you put them beside God's plans for our eternity, it really is amazing. And I'm not dissing planning for retirement, believe me. But it is a staggering comparison nonetheless. So these comforting scriptures, they can really expand our peripheral vision from a spiritual perspective. It is good to step back and take a look at life, because sometimes we can bore down so deep in our own thoughts that we lose sight of our lives in the context of eternity. Ultimately, as eternity rolls along, this phase of our life known as time on earth will become a mere speck in the accounting of time. And it will become fainter, fainter, and fainter. But for now, we are here on earth, and I wanted to look at Paul's encouragement. This is the New International Version of Romans 12:1. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Our hearts and our lives are the sacrifice to God. We dedicate our hearts, which is our thoughts, our deeds, to God as our offering. And it would be a sweet savor, a sweet-smelling savor to him. We live in the world, but we withhold ourselves from being drawn in by the allure of living to please myself. I have freedom of will. I'm an adult. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. That's kind of the feel-good mentality a lot of people hold. But we abstain from living like the world. We consciously discern and refuse the mold, M-O-U-L-D, Satan wants to slip us into. Proverbs 4:16, for they, speaking of the evil spirit realm, cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. But God has made the escape for us in the midst of our enemies, because in verse 2 of Romans 12, again, the NIV, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Isn't that what we want to prove in our lives? And it's prove in a lot of ways, but particularly to prove that it works. Every time we pray and have our prayer answered, every time we are ill and we recover, we prove God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Satan would have us to conform to the pattern he has set for the world. He is the one that is into behavioral modification. We are into transformational living, living transformed. How many people modify their behavior to look devout at church on Sunday, while during the week they bear no evidence of a Christ-centered life other than a few random sound bites? You know, Jesus addressed this pitfall throughout the Gospels. What a dangerous mold of the enemy to rob us of future rewards. You see it a lot. How many utilize a public display of goodness to outwardly appear a godly individual? Yet, the day-to-day living sacrifice of love is neglected. Seeing life through God's eyes, having that love for your brothers, for your neighbor, for humanity, having the arms, the compassion for the brokenhearted. So Satan will minimize or downplay those errors in our mind. Why? Well, because in order for us to err from the truth, we have to temporarily reject God. That sounds pretty harsh, but isn't that what happens? So now, with us temporarily in rejection of light mode, who is getting the worship? Whose life, or who is our life giving obedience to? But then the solution, 1 John 1:19, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness or wickedness. So, you know, we go along, everything's going great, we kind of slip away, and then all hell breaks loose in our lives, and we say, what in the world just blindsided me? And we say, God, save me. Well, doesn't that sound a lot like the teachings the last couple of weeks where the children of Israel sinned and they repeated it? And each time when they got hit hard and defeated by their enemies, they reached out, God, save us, save us. And as Larry shared, God being the wonderful God that he is, he's quick to do just that. He forgives us. He saves us. And he cleans us up of the offense, and he sets us upright once again, and we are ready to be on our way and to be successful. We are ready once again to prove that good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. As we're transformed by the renewing of our minds, then and only then are we able to catch the enemy in his tricks before we are caught by his tricks. We catch him because we're able to test him. We're able to test those thoughts against God's will that is known to us. When an idea comes to mind and it's less than good or pleasing in God's sight, according to God's will, we're able to put that idea on the run. We are able to say, return to sender. Through knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, we are alert and watchful for the various moles the enemy wants us to slip into. Any action motivated by something other than God's love is temporal, and the reward gained is only for the here and now. So we don't want to settle for what the world calls 15 minutes of fame. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That is going to take seeing it through his eyes. God will bring honor to you. We don't ever have to ask for honor. We just live to love him and our neighbor. And the honor will be there. We don't even concern ourselves. And, you know, when you think about it, life is just that way. I would think some of the greatest spiritual things that we do are actions that perhaps no one even notices. Not even you. Not even us. And those may just be the very little, seemingly insignificant things that we do day by day that bring those wonderful rewards because those things were done with God's love. Now, I've mentioned the world a lot. And when I speak of the world, I'm talking about how Satan has sown evil within the systems of this world. I'm not speaking about honor that we might extend to a hero or to reward an achievement that's very important and that had a lot of hard work put into gaining it. I want to keep in the context of what we're contrasting. So, in conversations with beloved ones, Larry and I are always so blessed to hear how God fills lives throughout the day, how different believers respond to the tribulations in life, because we are going to have them, how they pray for their families, their fellow workers, those in authority, and how they rebuke evil in the name of Jesus Christ. How they teach and train their children to love God so that those children at some point can take their own spiritual posture against the enemy. How their work ethic is formed by the commandments of the Lord. How they actively love their neighbors. Certainly, there are many around the world, anywhere there are children of God, who are able to test and prove God's will. And that's what God has called us to do. Timothy speaks of faithful men and women who are able to teach others also. And it is true that Timothy is a pastoral epistle, but 1 Corinthians is not. God has not called us to save the world. He has called us, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, to be ambassadors, to reconcile men and women to him. He has called us not to save the world, but to assist those trapped in the systems of the world, those living in captivity of any kind. That's what God called Gideon to do, to be a judge on behalf of the children of Israel. They needed to be out of captivity. Gideon was called to defeat their enemies. So we know God's desire for the lives of people And we pray for them and seek entrance to their hearts so we can minister wholeness. And, you know, I really think of another beautiful contemporary song now. And I'm not validating every single word in the song, but the hearts of some of these men and women in the groups are just wonderful, the way that they turn a phrase, and I love it. This one is Soul on Fire by Third Day. And he says, Lord, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. That's an ambassador for Christ, a soul on fire. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And the Greek for ambassadors is presbuo. It means elder. God beseeches us that we would be elders in Christ's stead. God has called us to favor and further the cause of Christ. Christ is at the right hand of God, and we're here to carry on his favor and to further his cause. Our causes are not the causes of the world. I mean, the causes of the world these days are endless. Everyone has a soapbox. We are bringing the kingdom of God. Our citizenship is in heaven to reconcile to God, to reconcile others to God. In Judges chapter 6 and 7, the angel continued giving Gideon God's promises to build him to see himself through God's eyes. God has given us instructions so we can do the same. His word lights our path so we will not stumble. Psalm 119, 165 in the New Living Translation says, those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. That stumble is a very interesting word, and it is actually one I'm going to work. And you may hear more about it at a future point. But it's very interesting. What are some of the reasons people stumble? They may trip. They may lose their footing. They may be elderly. Or they could be drunk. Many reasons people stumble. But when we look at spiritual reasons that people would stumble, they could be in a drunken state spiritually. Different things. But the word has the solution and the promise. Those of us who love instruction will not stumble, and we will have great peace. There is no need to trip because our way is well lit. No need to lose our footing because God has made our feet like the feet of a deer, like the foothold a mother deer has on the side of a mountain. Talks about that in Psalm 18. You know, there's no need to walk around in a drunken stupor because we have God's love. We have his power and we have a sound mind. No need to stumble in elder years because even David in Psalm 37 says, I was young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. So the word has a solution for every single thing that God would save us from. He enabled us, and he continues to work with us. Often we mention looking at ourselves, our lives, our situations, and we do offer encouragement and exhortation to look at it in light of God's perspective. It really does change things. I know oftentimes, Larry, in ministering to folks will say, you know, I really can't help you with your past. It's already happened. It's history. But I can help you think differently about your past. Even looking at our past through God's eyes helps us We can't change the trauma or the events or the sadness or the hurt, but we can change how we look at those things. It truly is the only way. Maintaining God's perspective removes so many landmines from our path as we walk day to day. But most of all, we are offering our love, the love in our hearts, in sacrifice to God. And we live transformational lives because it is our logical service. We live those lives where we are the victors, where we are the powerful in Christ, where we are super conquerors. We will have tribulations, the mental pressures in this world, but the mindset, and really more so, that heart set, the heart set, that determines our dominancy in this life. Let's commit to seeing ourselves and others through God's eyes of love and truth. God bless you all so much, and certainly we send our love your way.